I want to talk about maximum marriage today and making the most out of marriage. So this is this message is directed to all of us. If you are not married and will never be married, this is still for you because you need to know how to encourage those who are married. And if you're looking at getting married, there's some good stuff here. And if you are, well, today is a good day to have a good day and to make corrective steps if you need to. There's a lot of jokes and one-liners about marriage. On the one hand, marriage can be a very beautiful thing, but it can be extremely challenging. And so it gets to brunt a lot of jokes. It was George Burns, in fact, who said, "I was married by a judge." It should have been by a jury. It was Rodney Dangerfield, who always complains about, "I get no respect around here." And he said, "My wife and I were happy for 20 years, and then we met." Henry Youngman said, "The secret of a happy marriage remains a secret." And then I read about the golden anniversary party thrown for an elderly couple. The husband was very moved by the occasion and wanted to tell his wife what he thought of her. She was hard of hearing, however, and often misunderstood what he said. With many family members and friends gathered around, he toasted her and said, "My dear wife, after 50 years, I've found you tried and true." Everyone clapped for them. But his wife was a little irritated and asked, "What did you say?" So he repeated again, louder, "After 50 years, I've found you tried and true." Now the wife got visibly upset and shouted back, "Well, let me tell you something. After 50 years, I'm tired of you too." So, we can laugh at things because we understand that there are challenges that come in relationships. There's a lot of beautiful things that come out of it too, particularly when it comes under the umbrella of Ephesians 5, where we're told to be filled with the Spirit and to submit to one another in the fear of Christ. And it is under that umbrella that we approach this subject for today. So we have to understand the context. This is when we live under the control of the Holy Spirit that we can have these attitudes and these experiences. The common thread in all of this is the thread of submission. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That applies to everyone. Everything. If you continue the end of this chapter into the next chapter, it's all under the umbrella of being mutually submissive to one another in the fear of Christ. And it is within that context he first of all addresses marriage. In a genuinely Christian, Spirit-filled home, the subject of headship or leadership doesn't even become an issue. God has called all of us to be servants, foot washers, dishwashers, whether we're men or women, husbands, wives. We've been called to serve one another and to submit to one another. If we will genuinely serve one another's needs, we will automatically or unconsciously fulfill whatever role God ordained husband and wife to have in that particular relationship. Also, in a genuine Christian, Spirit-filled home, there are no bitter feelings or grudges about the role we play in a role or the situation we find ourselves, because the key mark of a Spirit-filled believer is thankfulness, as in verse 20. Always giving thanks to God and being subject to one another. And then it talks about our marriage relationships. So if there are failures, the failures is not with the model. The failure is our not being under the control of the Holy Spirit of God to live out what it means to be a true Christian caring for one another. That's always the issue. So, we do get to verse 22, and I have to hurry along. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, the word submit was a military word, to be under rank. The Bible says that in a marriage relationship, there are some roles. I'm not going to try to define what all the roles are, but it simply says that wives are to be in a place in their marriage relationship where they come into support. As a military word, it was used of a group of soldiers who were behind the front line. And as the front line would break down due to enemy activity, they would then step in to fill in that hole in the front line and to come alongside and to help fulfill the duties of the front line. So they were there to support. Should there be a need, they would step right in and fill in that need. That is how marriage works. We support one another, and where there is that a particular need, we just step right in and we help give that support that is needed. That's what we're talking about. Oh yes, we are talking about the fact that the husband is to be the head. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But when we are under the control of the Spirit, then it is not an issue for a wife to find herself in a place where she supports the direction her husband wants to give for their marriage and for their home. Wherever there is a submissive spirit amongst God's people, there are three things will emerge. You will have dignity, you will have equality, you will have unity. We are always equal. There will be unity in the Spirit. There will always be dignity when we mutually have a submissive spirit to each other. We may have different roles, but the Spirit is to be a mutually submissive spirit to one another, regardless of the roles. So God's Word says to wives, submit yourselves to your husband as to the Lord, not as your Lord. We only have one Lord that we reverence. But out of respect to Jesus, this is what you do to your husband. You believe in him. You support him. You build him up. You realize he's trying to give some leadership, and you want to support that under the lordship of Christ. I have to quickly go along here. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. What is the head? It's the part of the body that gives direction. When the body doesn't follow the direction of the head, we have words for that. Paralysis, disability, disorder, dysfunction. Women might look at this and say, wow, this is a tough pill to swallow. Imagine tomorrow morning, going to work. Now, I'm not saying do this. I suggest you probably not do this. But imagine tomorrow morning you go to work and there's a lull in the action at work and you turn to the person next to you and you say, you know what, yesterday our pastor preached about how wives should be subject to their husbands. And just leave it. Don't say anything else. Stop right there and just watch their reactions. That's all he talked about? Whoa, you take this out of context, and it's a tough pill to swallow. You put this in its proper context, and some of you still might feel it says Buckley's, good for you, but tastes terrible. But if you're truly filled with the Spirit of God, you'll be thankful. You'll have a very pleasant spirit about it. There'll be a song in your heart. Just look at the context. Look at what God's Word says leading up to this. If you live in the control of the Holy Spirit, this can be a very pleasant thing to experience. As for a wife to have a husband who cares enough, is careful enough, and sensitive enough to give the kind of leadership to the relationship that is needed. Not just as he wants, but that is needed. That can be a very beautiful thing. That's what we're aiming for. We live in a broken society. We don't trust power. And so, well, we don't want to give husbands that power. Well, it's under the workings of the Spirit that we can do this. Ray Stedman, in his book on Ephesians, tells an interesting story. A woman approached me with an insightful question. Does Ephesians 5, verse 22 and 23, that my submission to my husband is a gauge of the degree that I am committed to Christ? Yes, that's exactly right, said Ray. Her response was even more insightful. Well then, that means that my submission to my husband is not some sort of gift that I give my husband that he should somehow feel indebted to me for it. And then she went on, nor should I use my submission to him as a form of manipulation or blackmail. I can't say to my husband, well, I've submitted myself to you. Now you sure have to do such and such for me. Nor can I say to God, I've submitted myself to my husband, so you have to now produce certain results in my life. And then she concluded correctly. This is Ray Stebbins already. She concluded, no, I submit to my husband as unto the Lord. I should not care what my results are. That's up to my husband and my God. And Stedman explains in his commentary, he writes, she got it. She got it. When we live like this, we leave the results with God. I do my part, he'll do his part. This comes under the auspices of be submissive to one another. There has to be a mutual spirit about this. I have to quickly jump ahead some of my notes here. Let's quickly jump to the understanding of the headship here, what we're talking about. For as Christ is head of the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's verse 25. Then in verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. We have two analogies here. One is husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's one analogy. The other one is as they love their bodies. So let's quickly look at what it means to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And here I borrow four words that Chuck Swindoll uses, and you can never go wrong usually when you glean a few things from him. He points out four words that come to his mind when he looks at this, and I want to quickly share those four words with you. The first is the word sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved their church and gave himself up for her. I checked the dictionary. The dictionary means for sacrifice says to offer up oneself for something more precious. To surrender, to release. To do without for the benefit of another. A sacrificial spirit. That's how we lead. We lead by sacrificing. And sometimes we yield the right of way. We sacrifice ourselves for our wives. Somewhere in my readings, I came across this epitaph on a tombstone. It goes like this. Here lies the body of Jerry Ray, who refused to give up his right of way. He was right, dead right, as he traveled along, but just as dead as if he were wrong. You know, you can be right. But sometimes the best thing for you is to give up your right for the benefit of someone else. That's a tough pill to swallow for anyone. But giving ourselves sacrificially for our wives. The second word is that he might sanctify her. To make her holy, cleansing her. That word to make holy or to sanctify means to set apart for its original purpose. Originally, this word was not a religious word. It just was a word that meant to serve the original purpose. So this morning, when I got up and I'm fumbling for my glasses that I usually put somewhere on the dresser when I get up, and I'm looking for it, the moment I put my glasses on, I sanctified them. I am now using them for the purpose they were made. As long as they were on the dresser, they were not sanctified. That's not what they were made for. This is what they were made for. The moment you sat on your chair here this morning, you sanctified that chair. These chairs were not made to be jumped on or used as stepping stools when you're painting in a kitchen. You pull the chair. That's not what they were originally made for. They were made so you could sit on them. You are fulfilling the purpose of the chair when you sat on it. When you put your key in the car and you drove here this morning, you sanctified your car. That car wasn't made to show and shine. That car was made to drive. You were fulfilling its purpose. That's what we do. We help fulfill the purposes of our wives. My wife wanted to be a pastor's wife. My job, as we married, is to make sure that she can fulfill the things God laid on her heart. And someday when I retire, she's going to have the identity crisis, not me. Because she says, now I'm not a pastor's wife anymore. Who am I? What am I going to do? You know? That was her purpose. When she felt God was asking her to train for a massage therapist, it was my job then to sanctify her for that purpose. And for 10 months in Medicine Hat, I did the laundry, I made the meals for four kids while she took her schooling at Regina. That was tough 10 months. But I allowed her to fulfill the purpose we felt God had for her life. That was my job as a husband, to set her aside for the purpose God had for her. She felt she needed to finish her degree. She got her four-year BA degree after her fourth child was born. She would continue to take courses and continue to go back to Providence in the summer for school. And that was my way of sanctifying, setting her aside for the purpose God had for her. And when I lead that way, then it's not difficult for her to submit to me. But it's based on my leadership. Having cleansed her by the washing of the word, forgiveness, giving a new start. Giving her a new start. Every morning, we like to have our coffee, our toast, and our devotional together. We have a new start together every day by the washing of the water of the word. And also by honoring her. Verse 27, to present her to himself as a radiant church. It's my job to honor, to give her the medal of honor. Now, I did something real quick so I can look good this morning. You might recognize a box like this. It says special moments. Some of you probably have this plate. This red plate that says you are special today. We bought this thing years ago, paid through the nose. I think we paid $60 about 20 years ago for this thing. And every time one of our kids has a birthday, you know, we pull it out, and this is your special today. We have a little fine-tip black felt mark, and we would write the name of our kids and the year and the date of their birthday. And this back part was just full. And the dishwasher one day took it all off. So now she's the only one that's special now. So I quickly pulled this thing out this morning. I gave her toast this morning in this red plate. I gave her the red plate treatment just to honor her, and partially just so I could have a sermon illustration, I guess. Might as well be honest. But giving my wife the red plate treatment, honoring her. What are ways you can honor your wife? Treat her as a medal of honor. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. There's the other analogy, as you love your own body. I got up this morning. First thing I do is I shave, I shower, I comb my 17 hair. I dressed, I looked good. I did everything I could to look after myself. And the Bible says a good husband does the same thing for his wife. He does everything he can to look after her, because a good man loves his woman as he loves himself. Now looks after himself. That's what he does for her. In fact, this relationship is so special, the Bible calls it a mystery. Look at verse 20:32. This is a profound mystery. You can't put in two words the special relation between a husband and wife when under the submissive spirit of the Holy Spirit. We love each other through submitting and through leading. I'm going to close with this illustration. Winston Churchill, during World War II, was invited along with some other dignitaries to a wonderful evening and a banquet. It was a unique evening because when the meal was done, the host got up and he said, "I would like all of you who are dignitaries here to answer the question. If you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? If you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be?" Well, the dignitaries all got up and they spewed some name they'd like to be, you know, if they had another chance. Finally, it was Churchill's turn. He happened to be the last. And everybody was wondering what he would say because Churchill had a way with words. Churchill stood up, very calmly said, "If I could not be who I am," and he stopped. He turned to his wife, whom he had been married to for many years and whom he adored. He took her hand and he said, "If I could not be who I am, I would most like to be Lady Churchill's second husband." Boy, that old boy scored some points that night. Is that true of you? Is that how much you love your wife? Is that the relationship that you have with your spouse? If I could do it all over again, I'd do it with you. Today is a good day to start doing what is right. If you need to make some corrective steps in your marriage, in your relationship, to have the spirit and the actions as displayed in this word, this could be an awesome day for you. I'd like to pray for you that the Spirit of God will take these truths, apply to your hearts and your marriage in such a way that your lives will be the richer because of what you've heard this morning.